Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. This is episode 39 of the Call of Cthulhu masterpiece, Horror on the Orient Express, with myself as the GM. Our recap will be presented by Jeff Wilkins. Maybe it's cold outside, and the Bora bites like a hungry wolf, but the players are ready, so let's begin our journey into the darkness. Jeff?
Thanks, Tom. We started our last episode in the gardens area of the local museum. We're investigating the tomb area of Johann Winckelmann. Dr. Keith remembers the name and recalls that Winckelmann is the father of modern archaeology. Since it's so cold outside, we head back into the museum and we discover another piece associated with Winckelmann. It's another relief sculpture showing what looks like Roman or Greek men dancing or making wine, but their arms and legs are distorted and show what looks to be tentacles. Nothing else is known about this piece. We also realize the same motif as what was on the tomb outside, where the figures were distorted. We see a display in the museum of 6 gold medallions that were once owned by Winckelmann. The museum acquired them in 1910. One thing of note, though, is that according to how they were displayed, one of them appears to be missing. After we finish at the museum, we head back to the library. Now that we know more about Winckelmann. We learn some of the background information about Winckelmann. Giovanni Termona had bought Winckelmann's papers and the diary upon Winckelmann's death. We discover another clue in the library and the old court martial document. There's a mention of an artifact. There's lots of names and locations and dates for us to look into. From the sound of it, though, a man named Legrand has a bag with a valuable artifact contained within. We speculate that maybe this might be the head of the statue that we're looking for. There's also something odd in this document that suggests there might be a monster involved. As we're leaving the library, we see the librarian helping a man who appears to be homeless. He also seems to be mute. There's something odd about his hands. We suspect, if they're seeing the sculptures, that the man might have tentacles for arms. We head back outside into the bitter cold and go back to our hotel. When we arrive in the lobby, Rupert sees a man wearing a fez. Rupert attempts to sit with him and find out who he is. He seems to be Turkish, and he's a bit standoffish. He soon excuses himself and leaves. As we're chatting around the dinner table, there's a moment where the power goes out briefly. Eldritch asks out loud if we think our belongings are safe. And because of this, we go up to our rooms to check, but everything seems to be fine. We head to bed. The next morning, we approach the concierge, and Dr. Dawkins asks if by chance there's a tavern still around called the Drunken Goat or the Lizard's Cave, two of the taverns mentioned in the court-martial document. He tells us that they're not, that he's never heard of them. And then Dr. Keith asks if there's anyone in the local named Termona. And he says, yes, in fact, there's a person that comes to the hotel and lives nearby named Antonio Termona. And that brings us up to date.
Okay. So it's still early. It's morning. And you guys are still at the hotel. So what would you like to do?
Yeah, in doing the recap, going through some of that episode, we have a lot of new information.
Yeah.
A lot of new names, dates, connections. Not sure where we need to start.
Well, we have a surviving relative, but how much a surviving relative would know of Termona and whether he would have anything at all inherited from the early 1800s?
It could still be in his possession, though. Perhaps the library was passed down.
Possible. Or he might know where it was bequeathed. Or he might simply know that there's a library somewhere named, an obscure little library named after his ancestor, in which his papers were kept.
Yeah.
Is there a university in Trieste?
There is not.
Really?
Not yet. A couple more years, probably.
Uneducated fools.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It's just,
no,
it's
not big enough. I'm being snobbish.
Well, Antonio seems to be our only living link at this stage.
Do we have an address for him?
The concierge did give us an address.
I'm still intrigued by the strange coincidence, the connection between that bas relief and the name of the tavern. That is very odd.
Lizard's Cave.
Drinking houses always do have a strange name, right?
It'd be interesting to know where it stood and whether it was named after a location or a local legend or something, because it just seems to it seems to fit. I mean, it could be a complete red herring, but it does. It's certainly evocative.
Not to mention the fact that that person that we saw, if he somehow has this deformity like the figures in those relief sculptures.
Well, that's jumping to conclusions. I mean, perhaps he lost his hands in a war. Not everything that happens around here is nefarious. But
it could simply be an indication, couldn't it, of some sort of inherited condition in the local populace.
I've never heard of any. Something in the water that gives you tentacles for hands.
Well, we don't know that they're actual tentacles. That could be a very stylized representation of some sort of congenital deformity or something. Perhaps,
last week or so,
born without bones, for example.
Last week or so, I don't even know what's real anymore.
That's a good point.
Well, what pieces do we have now? We have the torso, a leg, and an arm. Yeah. So one of the things that we can look for is somebody that's displaying some sort of hurt arm, leg, or maybe even head. Maybe the headpiece might
cause mental illness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought that up the other day. The fact that all the pieces seem to be linked with some sort of pain with the associated appendage.
Because I walk with a limp because of my left leg.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps we can look around and ask if somebody's been experiencing headaches for a while. Like migraines that won't go away or something.
This would be like a family curse type headache, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Headaches handed down from father to son for generation.
What if this this relative that we have the possibility of visiting, what if we meet him and he says that he has a problem of chronic headaches?
Could be schizophrenia.
Well, we can sit here speculating all day, or we can go and meet this young chap.
Just put our coats on and go.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, and then I remember how cold and blustery it is out there, and I'm like, I'm not looking forward to this.
I wasn't really in a hurry to go outside.
we got new coats now, haven't we?
Oh, do we?
Yeah, we bought new coats last week. Everybody.
I refuse to go anywhere unless I'm holding tightly to one of those chains.
Yeah. I've got one of those Russian Klerikov coats with the fur.
Yeah.
I remember asking about that.
Yeah. We bought them last week. Good quality for everybody. can't have us catching the cold, can we?
Thank you, Rupert.
Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. I don't want to moan you on my conscience.
All right, so you're going to head to find this
this descendant,
Termona.
Yeah,
all right. I liked your idea, Dr. Keith, about you doing some sort of a history book.
Yes, I think most people. Most people would feel quite flattered to be interviewed about their family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and given that we are genuinely interviewing him about his family.
Mm-hmm. And let's not be modest, Keith. You are a big name in that field. So therefore, genuine interest, even if anyone researched into it. Oh, come on, don't be modest.
My field is really... not that specific area of history, but yes.
How many generations would this be? Do we know?
Oh, dear.
Was it Giovanni was the one mentioned, I think, right?
We lost track of the Napoleonic Wars, aren't we?
Well, he died 100 years ago. And a generation is typically taken to be 25 years.
Hmm.
So you'd be looking at five generations, I would imagine.
Yeah, four or five. Hmm. A family can change a lot in five generations.
Yeah.
True.
So,
do you guys want to find out more information about the Termonas before you go to the Termonas, or?
That may be helpful, Go to the would a library have information about the specific families if they're prominent?
Depends, maybe. Maybe the museum might know something.
Who's him?
So what do you guys think?
You're finding you're getting information bit by bit, so get some here at the. You might have to keep going.
if we're going to go to the library, then I have an idea. I'm wondering if I can find any I'm not sure gazetteer would be the right word. Some sort of local guide to local taverns and public houses. I don't know if they were documented in that way in the early 1800s, whether it was considered a respectable practice to document.
What about a Baedeker guide?
But there might be something books of folklore mentioning the lizard's cave. Not necessarily the tavern itself, but if it's based on a local folk tale or some sort of local cultural tradition, then that might be mentioned somewhere in some book of folklore or tall tales, possibly, or possibly even just in there may be other locations. There might be an actual Caverna dei Rotelli. An actual lizard's cave, quite separate from the tavern. Not necessarily that the tavern is built on the site of an actual cave. It might just be named after a cave elsewhere in the city or in the surrounding countryside.
Hmm. Now, I assume you guys are still in the lobby or trying to decide what you're going to do.
All right.
Yeah.
We're still reluctant to go outside in this weather, I think.
Yeah, we're just bracing ourselves for this.
Any sign of the man with the fez?
Nope. The only really where you guys are standing, there's maybe only two other people, lady and her kid over there, and the concierge, and maybe a bellboy comes through every once in a while doing something. Most of the people are in the restaurant right now.
So what do we think? Head to the library, head just directly to him, or go off on a different tangent?
Definitely going to learn. If we just go, I suppose, because they'll probably tell us what we could probably find out in the library anyway, if there's anything significant about the family.
Mm. That's true. We could just go straight there and kind of learn everything we need to know if we bluff our way through.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the chances are that he'd probably prefer it if we made an appointment to talk to him.
Mm.
So the sooner the better.
Mm.
And if he's not there, we can just leave a calling card or something, jot the... perhaps if someone wants to, actually, I could get my one of my calling cards and my carte de visite, and just jot down the phone number of the hotel
mm-hmm.
on the back of the card now, just in case it's not there, so I can leave a calling card.
Yeah.
Can I approach the concierge and ask him if he's familiar with the man with the fez?
He says he's just somebody staying here temporarily. I think he's going to be here two nights.
He is a guest, though.
Yes.
And you don't know?
Checked in this morning.
You don't know any information about him, like where he's from or what his business is?
I'm not really supposed to say, you know, talk about other guests. The people have their privacy.
Okay. Just but, ask.
Yeah. I forget what I said that the guy was.
Import stuff, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. He's an importer.
Okay.
But does the concierge know him? No. Never seen him before. I mean, he's just a guest.
Hmm. So, to the library or to Antonio?
You're cool.
Yeah, I say to Antonio.
Antonio direct?
Okay. Yeah.
Which is closer?
Hmm. So yeah,
although I'd suggest that if we visit and the house of Signor Tamona, then we should probably do so in a taxi.
Yes, please.
The less time spent outside in this city, the better.
Get the hotel concierge to call a taxi for us.
All right, so we.
That's what you're gonna do.
Yeah, we're gonna have them called.
Okay.
Taxi.
All right. Taxi shows up, and of course the wind is blowing and howling. But I'll give you a break this time. It's not so strong this morning. It's still terribly cold. Well below zero. And you tell him the term. Oh, well, you give him the address. All right. So what he does is he drives you actually in the direction of the museum. And you, in fact, pass right in front of the museum. And you go just maybe two more blocks up the hill into a very, very affluent neighborhood. And he stops right in front of a beautiful big villa with a wall around it and sculptures on the pillars and an arched gateway going in. And what's probably beautiful gardens in the springtime.
Excellent.
Big portico.
Chap seems to be doing well for himself.
All right. So how do you proceed? You now you've stepped out of the taxi.
Well, I think we should head to the front door.
Yeah, just directly to the front door. Knock, see who opens.
Okay, so you knock and you go ahead and do a listen roll. You can all do this.
I make it.
I don't. All I can hear is the wind whistling.
No.
No. Can't hear it.
Well, completely deaf.
Did anybody pass?
I did.
Okay. You think that you can hear kind of the click click of shoes on marble. So that's probably marble floor inside as they come close. And the door opens. And
I jump out my skin.
It's a man dressed in an old, looks like a really old man, dressed like a butler would dress. But he's got he's got like a sour look on his face, and he's got an eye patch over his left eye. Okay. His left eye. And he's like, see?
I should attempt to talk to him in his native tongue. Using my phrase book, I shall attempt to convey that I am a historian interested in the history of the Tomona family, the familia Tomona. And I would be grateful if he would give the master of the house my card, and I proffer said card to him.
He looks.
I have not just told him something strange about gardening and said that his house smells of werewolves.
Oh, I could have your role for your life. He takes the card, and with his one good eye, he looks at it like this. And he just ignores you.
Oh,
and he goes like this. Or however they would do that in Italian. It's not always the same gestures. This might mean something else. But
it's okay for me to smoke a pipe.
If you guys say anything to each other in English, he knows a little English, okay? And he says to you, he says, come inside out of the cult.
Thank you, old bean.
Grazie.
And you're in a beautiful foyer. There's big stairs going up. There's a dome above your head. There's artwork on the walls. But this is just the foyer, and you can see that there's ways into bigger rooms and things like that. And he says basically, you think what he's saying in Italian is basically, stay here, don't touch anything or don't steal anything. And he walks out and goes into another part of the house.
Let's smoke more pipe.
What a delightful room.
Rather nice, isn't it? Those paintings look. I mean, this is just the stuff you put in the foyer. Well, what a main collection is like.
Now, the paintings, there's a number of paintings. They're all distinguished-looking gentlemen. They all have similar facial features, so they're probably the Termonas, one after the other. They're all in different sort of period clothing. So you can see that the family goes way back.
Do they have a name at the bottom of the portrait?
They don't.
Oh, damn.
But they're not dressed necessarily like rich aristocrats. Most of them are dressed in what would be like a scholarly sort of manner. Some of the older ones actually have bundles of scrolls in their hands and some have, you know, have books on a table or a globe next to them or something like that.
Definitely an educated family.
I think we could afford to play a slightly different game here.
There are also quite a, there, every room has a large fireplace in it.
Excuse me.
With you know, a nice roaring fire to keep the place warm because it's all marble, so it'd be freezing cold if they ever let it get cold. What would you guys like to do?
Smoking my pipe, just waiting, admiring the art collection.
Yeah.
Briefly about that one, Keith. Dan, do it, right?
Rupert, do a spot hidden.
Oh, dear. It's easy, it doesn't go well. Oh, hang on, 44. No, I haven't noticed it, so I carried on the tradition.
It all just looks like objects to art and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm nice though.
So after about 5 minutes, a man comes through a large arch doorway. There's no door, it's just an archway. He comes around the corner. Now this man is rather short. He looks like he's about, maybe 45 years old. He's starting to bald. He's dressed in for all intents and purposes, like a very fancy bathrobe. I mean, it's not really a bathrobe, but it's made out of silk. And
like what I wear.
A lounge, you know, he's for lounging around, like a smoking jacket.
A smoking jacket.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, Rupert wears one.
And he comes around the corner, and he's walking rather briskly. And he smiles, and he says in fairly good English, he's like, you know, welcome. I am Antonio Tormona. Please come inside.
Thanks, awfully. Thank you very much.
Now, you don't have to do a spot hidden for this, but you notice that the left arm of his robe is pinned up. He's obviously missing a limb.
Ah, I guess you.
Okay. But he shakes your hand with his right hand, and he seems very warm and friendly. He says, please come inside. We can sit in the sitting room.
Thank you very much.
And he says, and I apologize for Marco. He's
no apologies needed, old man.
He's
every old, family needs to have an eccentric butler.
Old and bitter. Anyways, he takes you in to a very lovely room with nice furniture and has you sit down and yells for Marco to bring some tea or coffee, whatever you guys want. And you can imagine that while you're having your conversation, Marco's going to come in gruffly and put the stuff down. And he's going to do his job right, but he doesn't look like he likes you. All right. He says, now, Marco seemed to say that you had some interest in the Tormona family.
We do indeed. We're rather interested in your ancestor, Giovanni Tormona.
Ah, Giovanni.
Yes. I believe we've been. I'm a historian, and obviously visiting Trieste is the resting place of Johann Winckelmann.
Yes, Johann Winckelmann. Yes,
very very important archaeologist. We heard that Winckelmann's papers on his death passed to your ancestor Giovanni Tormona.
Yes, this is true.
We were just wondering if you knew what had happened to those papers.
Oh, they have remained in my family. Yes.
Oh, they're still in your family. Yes. I know this is a dreadful imposition, but we wondered whether we might possibly be able to make some arrangement to view the papers while we.
Oh, so you are very much interested in Winckelmann? Yes, he was. Yes. He was friends with my. My great 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 grandfather, yes. He says, Yes, if you'd like. You know, we can speak for a while and enjoy your tea. We have a, how do you say it in your language, like a study, a library?
Oh, yes, yes.
A place in here where we have these things. Although nobody, you know, my family has a reputation for being very scholarly, but the papers have just sort of been a curiosity in my family. They've just sat there and nobody's really paid much attention.
And then are you a scholar yourself?
Yes, yes. But my speciality is ancient Egyptian.
Jolly good. Jolly good.
I have only maybe 2 years ago visited the British Museum to see the collection. It's very impressive.
Excellent. Oh yes, yes, it is indeed. Yes.
Oh, Carter certainly added a few things there, didn't he?
So, anyways, you have cookies or whatever, and he says, "Please, let me show you."
It's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
You go down a hallway and through one room and through another room and up some stairs into this vast, huge, beautiful house. And all along the way, like I say, there's art, there's objects to art, there's things to look at. Why don't, as you're walking, a couple of you can do some, like, who's most interested in art?
All
right, why don't you just sort of take a
photography
look,
background.
Do a spot hidden.
And that's probably a fail. Yep.
79. I'll do a spot hidden as well.
Okay.
And that is a pass.
Okay. You notice there are a number of things as you're going along. One is a small little statue. Kind of unremarkable. Looks like it was probably a Greek god or maybe a Roman god.
Okay.
You notice a vase that's painted with dancing figures, you know, going around it. These look like they're probably artifacts, very valuable to some. Mm-hmm. The thing that's odd about them is in both cases, it's almost as if there was a glaze that was put over them, maybe to protect them, but really it's kind of a milky white, and it sort of obscures the details. Mm-hmm. It's odd. It just strikes you as odd. But other than that, it's just something in passing, you know.
Okay.
That you notice. So anyways, he takes you into a rather fine library. With a number of books, you know, bookshelves and so forth. And he says, now let me see. And he starts rummaging through things, and he finally finds what's basically like a leather binder with a almost like a belt around it. And he brings this out and sets it down and undoes the belt thing and opens it up. And there are a number of papers and things. And at a glance, you can see they look like they're written in Latin, maybe.
Okay.
And there is also probably all in all, there's maybe about 300 pieces of paper here.
I can help with that. Anything
but there's also what looks like a diary.
Oh, okay.
And he says, these are the papers, and he shows you some highlights. You know, he sort of goes through and he says, these documents are written in Latin, and this is here. And he picks up the diary and he says, apparently he liked to use all of these ancient languages. He says, this one's mostly written in an ancient dialect of Greek, and he sets that down. And just goes through these things, and he says, "Please, you know, take a look."
Oh, we'll do anything Latin. I will dive into.
Same here.
Well, we can,
or French or Latin.
So there's so at least three of us speak Latin. Any more? Any others who can read Latin?
I can read three of us Russian, English, and German.
Can anyone read Greek?
No.
No.
Okay, so
if it's an ancient form of Greek, isn't that closer to Latin?
No.
No?
Greek's older than Latin by about 3,000 years.
I mean, do they have any sort of similarities, though?
No, not really.
No? Okay. Fair enough.
We're going to have to get the translator to check out the Greek stuff. We're going to return that another date. The monsieur can translate it.
For all of you except Dr. Elizabeth, the papers just sort of seem to be accounts, descriptions of his travels, things like that. Mm-hmm. Dr. Elizabeth, when you're reading it, you're reading a kind of a collection of rough notes on the excavations at Pompeii and I can never say this one. Herculean. And it dawns on you that Winckelmann actually published his book on the excavations at Herculeanum. But these notes seem to be sort of like extensions onto, like afterwards, after he'd written it, he wanted to revise the book. However, no, your knowledge of archaeology is that probably there's been so many archaeological digs since then, that whatever he's got in here is completely irrelevant to, you know, to anything at this point. But other than that, what would you like to do?
Can't see of anything of interest amongst these. Well, yeah, nothing critical to what we're looking for anyway.
Well, we could do is possibly copy out some of the entries from the diary, working from the back, from the last entry backwards.
There's it's kind of a extensive diary. However, Antonio says, nobody in my family that I can recall has ever read this because it's in ancient Greek. But if you would like to borrow it, there I know a number of translators that might be able to help you. I have a friend, Marcius, who does know ancient Greek. We've never had any reason to, you know, translate this.
Oh, that however, would be extraordinarily helpful.
I have to stress, however, that these are rare, priceless documents.
How about this?
How about we pay for him to come here?
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't want to impose, but
You seem to be scholars. You seem to be. I. You know, if you could give me your surety that the text would be kept safe and returned to me, of course, and he seems, Dr. Elizabeth, to seem to realize that you're probably the most qualified here as far as archaeology or something.
Oh, definitely, because I don't look like I know anything.
So if you, my dear lady, give me your assurance, then I will be willing to let you borrow it.
But of course, I would relish the opportunity.
Jolly good.
Do you have the details for your friend, the translator?
Yes, of course. My friend Marcius Montanelli And I'll give you his address, and he gives you the address. And yes, he should be able to help you to translate this. I'm not exactly sure how long it will take him.
Grazie, senor. Grazie.
All right. So anything else you want to talk to him about or ask him?
Well,
or,
I mean, we will, of course. I mean, we'll bring the translation back with us to add to the papers. I think it would be only fair to do so that he and future members of his family are able to read the translation as well. It's after all an artifact of his family.
Okay. So, what would you like to do at this point?
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
The diary is in Greek?
It's in an ancient dialect of Greek, yes.
So does that mean Winckelmann didn't write it, or that he...
No, Winckelmann was fluent in ancient languages. And,
oh.
Yeah.
It tends to suggest that he didn't want people prying into the contents of his diary, because he's obviously gone to some lengths to make it
written in code.
Quite discreet.
It means there could be something in there that no one's supposed to find or see. He's definitely got to be hiding something.
It's certainly interesting to find out what it is. I'm sorry, I've forgotten the name of the butler.
Marco.
Marco.
Hold on.
Sorry. Signor Timona, do you think it would be possible for Marco to call a taxi for us?
Of course.
You know, I'm sure you know what it's like with the Bora. It's very fierce, particularly when one is from out of town and unused to such things.
Yes, indeed. All right. I'd like you all to do a spot hidden, but I need you to get like an extreme. If any of you do.
No, I got an extreme, but I got a hard, but not an extreme.
Okay.
No, not over here.
Not a big deal.
I made it, but not an extreme.
Okay. So he once again he shakes your hands very warmly, and he walks you to the front door, and wishes you well.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you once again.
Gracias, señor.
For trusting us with this valuable document.
Yeah, and he seems to be very, trusting, I guess. So
pleasant man.
All right.
Yes. Have we been to the Via della Cathedra? The Giardino?
The cathedral? That's up at the top of the hill?
The open air museum, disused burial ground. There's a small temple there that was erected in 1832. And that's quite late, I think, for when Napoleon was around here, because it was about 1805. Mm-hmm. But if there was something built around that time period, it might be worth a look. It's got another.
Well, right. I think first things first, I think we should take this book to the translator, because it's obviously...
Oh, definitely, definitely.
It's going to take some time for the translator to produce a translation of it.
We don't want to keep these out in the elements any more than we need to.
I think it would behove us to offer some form of payment. I'm sure he'll be expected to.
Oh, of course. I've got some cash on me.
So we're going to leave the book with the translator?
Yes, he seems to be a trusted friend. I mean, it's the owner of the book who's recommended the translator to us, so I'm assuming he's someone we could trust. I mean, I'm sure he trusts him more than he would trust us.
Yeah.
given that he knows him well.
Okay.
All right. Friend. So, the address that he gives you is it's a little ways across town. It's not as affluent a neighborhood. Obviously, it's an apartment building, but it's not a bad apartment area. It's fairly nice, well kept area. The apartments are such that you reach the second floor from the outside. You don't go inside. You go upstairs. And when you arrive at the door and knock, the door is answered by what looks like probably a cleaning lady or a housemaid, something like that. Yes,
sorry, could you remind me of the gentleman's name again?
Marcius Montanelli.
Marcius Montanelli.
Signor Martinelli.
She says, si.
Grazie.
Please come inside.
Grazie.
And she has you wait for a few moments while she goes. She goes just into another room, and after a few minutes, she comes back. Now, this guy's house is very neat, very clean. There are bookcases with books on them. Very little clutter. There's a little vase on the table with some flowers that obviously the housekeeper put there. And she finally comes back and she says, he will see you, please.
Grazie.
And she takes you into a secondary room. And this room is, you know, the scholar's delight. It's all wooden bookcases and all sorts of things like that. And there's a big giant wooden desk. And there's this man sitting behind the desk. And he looks like he's probably in his 60s. The room is warm. There's a small fireplace heating the room, but he's got Afghan, you know, he's got blankets over him, and I'll go ahead and I'll have you do a spot hidden, just see which ones of you notice this. Go ahead.
No.
What is with me and 60s this session? I have not gotten below 60.
If you didn't pass, you're just looking at all of the really cool stuff that he's got in here. If you did pass, you notice that he's in a wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
He shows a load.
So he's in a wheelchair behind his desk, and he's like, you must be the friends of Antonio Termone. He just called me on the phone and told me that you might be coming.
Ah, yes, we have a most interesting diary, which formerly belonged to Johann Winckelmann.
Ah, very interesting.
We wish to hire you, monsieur, or senor, we wish to hire you.
And he says, well, and he, I don't know what his fees would be. He gives you his fees, which are reasonable.
I'll give him slightly above what he asked for. Not a dramatic amount, but a little bit more.
Okay, he's grateful. He takes the diary from you, and he looks at it. And he's like, yes, I should be able to translate this without much difficulty. I think that it will, I can estimate maybe... maybe a day and a half.
Excellent.
Extraordinary. Thank you so much. I'll jot down the number at the hotel for him.
Okay.
Please come and contact. Maybe you could join us for dinner some evening.
Well, I don't leave my house very often.
That's understandable in this weather.
Well, perhaps we can bring dinner to you as thanks for your hard work on top of your feet.
You're very kind. We will see. We'll see. So, all right. So we can say that that's what happens there.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, we will. We'll make some small talk for a little while.
We've got a nice chat.
All right. Is there any questions you want to ask, or small talk, or?
Do you know much of Winkleman's work?
No, not really. I've never you know, directly worked on any of it, but most of the stuff that I get are translations of business documents and stuff like that for businessmen who come. You find out that he speaks French, German, Italian, Slovenian, a local Trieste dialect, ancient Latin, ancient Greek, quite a few languages.
Of course he does.
So, he doesn't make a lot of money, but he's made a good living doing translation.
Very impressive. Tell me, before we leave you to your work, I know this is rather a non sequitur, quite tangential, but have you ever heard of the Caverna de Rotelli?
The caves of the lizards?
Yes.
Where did you hear this strange thing?
It was mentioned in an old document. We came across a tavern by that name. We wondered.
And he's like, oh, a tavern. He says, people give taverns such strange names.
Is there a story attached to the name? Do you know?
None that I can think of. There are quite a few caves.
Really?
The area is the area between here and Postumia is riddled with caves.
The Grotto Gigante.
Rather, yeah, exactly. Yes, you know about it. Very good.
It's in tourist guide.
Yeah. But any specific cave called the Lizard's Cave, I've never heard of this thing.
Oh, I just wondered. It was just something we just read it somewhere, and it just stuck in my mind somewhat. I think there was another one, something to do with a goat, wasn't there?
Oh, I haven't been to a tavern in many years.
No.
I would go to a place called the Drunken Goat. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it seems to have an awful lot of limestone, which is probably one of the 70 caves.
Is it a caste system?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Is it a caste system, the cave network?
I don't know what that means. I don't know enough about caves, I guess.
It's like an interconnected system of caves in a large area.
Yeah, I think so.
Sinkholes, caverns and streams will start without end or warning. It's the nearest well-known cave to Trieste at 9 miles distant. From the largest chambers well worth inspection. Stalactite laden, 780 foot long and 453 high.
Yeah, they have they have tours.
Cool.
I believe.
We could visit.
I think it's free on Sunday. No, it's on.
Anything that involves getting out of the wind really would be a pleasure, I think.
I believe that I once read that once you get into caves, they stay at about 54 degrees.
Hmm.
That's Fahrenheit. I'm not sure they would use Fahrenheit in Europe.
Celsius, yeah. Well,
54 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yes.
Caves. It's perfect for wine.
That's
why they store wine in caves. When they say room temperature, they mean that room down there. All right. So,
well, Senor, thank you. We are very grateful for you taking the time to translate this document for us. We appreciate it a great deal.
All right.
And we shall leave you to your work.
All right. So, what next?
So, go and check these caves out.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Great minds think alike, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we're tourists, so we might as well do tourists.
See the sights while we're here.
Yeah, get a postcard.
All right. So you guys are going to go to the caves.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a journey, I think, but worth it, I should imagine.
Yeah, it's quite a journey. You know, all the way to the back end of the story.
That's the last thing we're going to go and see, was it?
No, that's cool.
And remember, stalactites, stalagmites.
Yeah, tides hang down.
And mites you've got to have a system.
River system. All right. When you step outside of this guy's house, the wind is blowing. You're getting in a taxi. Go ahead and do a spot hidden.
No.
Yay!
I didn't make it.
Finally, I passed. I finally
passed. Yes, me too. Rolling. I have made my first successful roll of the evening.
Yeah. All right. As you are getting into your cab and you're looking around, those of you who passed, you notice just down the street and on the corner, trying not to look too conspicuous, there's some man standing there, and he was obviously watching you. Okay. Now, the distinguishing thing about him, the reason why it caught your eye, was he has flaming red hair, but he has one black streak on one side.
Does anyone else see the strange red-haired man with the streak?
Yes, yes, I can see.
No, can't see him at all, but if you point him out to me, I can go after him.
I point him out and I just say, I think he's watching us. Should we try and lose him?
No, let's go over and ask him. I'm forward, the upfront follower approach. If he runs as I approach him, we know he's following us. If he doesn't take any notice of us, yeah, he obviously isn't following us.
By all means, Rupert.
I start approaching him.
Okay, well, no. What happens is, the second you walk, even take a step in that direction, or you look in that direction and seem to have noticed, he quickly moves around the corner.
I'll walk to where he was and make sure he's not just standing around the corner, so to speak, okay. Make sure he's totally disappeared.
He seems to be gone.
Okay, I shall wander back and go, I think he was following us.
I'm going to have you do a dexterity roll in the snow.
Great. Do I get a penalty because I've got a bit of a limp anyway? So, no. 90%. No, I don't. I go over.
Okay, you slip and fall in the snow.
Oh, my coccyx.
A bit of a limp walk.
Well, fortunately, he wasn't there to see you fall.
Yeah. At least no one's helping me out. Now I can manage.
Who got a good look at her?
I did. And I believe so did Dr. Keith.
Brush myself down.
You sure it was red hair?
Yes, carrot red head.
It wasn't a red fez?
No, not a red fez.
Bright red hair, like the young chap from my old squadron. Bright, he's a good carrot top. Awfully good chap.
Does a lot of crop things, yeah.
He got shot down.
Don't some fezes have, like, tassels or things that dangle from them?
Yeah, yes. A tassel.
Ah.
Yeah, it's usually. Maybe it's a sign of rank. If you have a tassel.
I don't know. Eldritch just got me paranoid, too.
Well, we're constantly being followed by people, so yes, I am obviously paranoid.
The thing is, I'm worried about that he's seen we've just left that chap's house.
Yeah.
So it means, I think, the moment our back is turned, we might turn and give him a visit.
So perhaps someone should stay behind while the others
go. I'll stay behind.
Have you got a weapon?
I have my cane.
I could give you my pistol if you need.
I also have a pistol, but I have a cane.
If you're going to stay behind, where are you going to stay? There's no cafes or anything in this area. This is all just apartment buildings.
How far away?
And it's freezing outside.
I would just walk back inside and knock on the, go back to his house, knock on the door and say, hey, could I stay here? Could I assist you in reading the book, or could I, ask you a few more questions?
Just be honest with the fellow and say that you've seen a suspicious individual loitering around outside.
Yeah,
that could work.
And that we're responsible for the safe return of that diary. And you're concerned that someone might be plotting to
steal it,
to rob him.
I'll do that. Whether or not he believes me is another question. But I'm being honest, so.
Yeah.
We'll be back shortly.
All right. What time is it? Let's say it's approaching 11 o'clock. Jeff, what day is it? Do you remember?
Tuesday.
Okay.
The 28th.
No. Yesterday was Monday, the 29th.
So it's the 30th.
It's the 30th. All right. Update my.
Let's do the cavern first. Okay. The tavern's 9 miles outside of the town. If you didn't read it yourself, I think Simon just read it. Dress is on the western edge of the Cart region. Hills and mountains, which have lent their name to the geological term. The limestone terrain is riddled with sinkholes, caverns, and streams, which start or end without warning. All right, so you get to the cavern, and there is a tour, in fact. Now, you guys are dressed for winter, which is fine, because it's cold in the caves, but it's 54 degrees. It's actually warmer in the caves than it is outside, which is amazing, because, wow. They're spectacular, and they're beautiful, and there's stalactites and stalagmites, and there's walls, and they explain, how they were formed and so forth, and that it's all made out of limestone. And you notice that, there's places where the stalactite and the stalagmite have attached to one another, so they've got pillars. And it's almost like liquid rock has been poured down, the way limestone forms. And somebody in your group asked the question, how safe would it be to be in here during an earthquake? And they explain to you that the stalactites and stalagmites are actually very fragile. They look like rock, but they're closer to chalk than they are anything else. And they've been there for tens of thousands of years, and they have had many earthquakes. So if they haven't broken, obviously this is a fairly stable area. Otherwise they would have all been shattered. But there's a number of pools, and there's a number of very interesting things to see. And of course, they explain to you that that under normal circumstances, of course, it's pitch black. And they do that little thing where they have, everybody extinguishes their flashlights if they brought them, and you sit there in the complete darkness. Total dark. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And the guide says, if you listen very carefully, you can actually hear the cave growing. Drips and creaking here and there. And then she lights a candle and says, this is how the first explorers saw it. And then they turn on the lights because they've got electricity down there. All the electricity is put in, you know, the light bulbs are put in special places to highlight the features. Mm-hmm. But other than a 2 hour long tour, do you have any questions? Because she'll answer, or I always say she.
Well, yes. I mean, have you ever heard of something called the Caverna di Rotelli?
Never heard of it.
It's not a feature of this network of caves.
Not that I've ever heard of. No.
Oh, is there any interesting folklore attached to the caves at all?
I don't know. They've always been considered very dangerous dangerous except, you know, don't stray off the path because you could get lost there. They're extensive. Most of this area has been well explored, but when you get out towards the caves near Postumia, which is about 50 miles hence, there's huge portions of that have never been explored.
My goodness.
But legends, they don't really know any. I keep wanting to say the American Indians, and I'm like, oh, what were they doing here?
is it built on the site of an ancient Indian burial ground?
Yeah, no.
That was a good tour.
It's nice to take a break and do the tourist thing once in a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
What year is it? 1926?
1923.
Is it a leap year?
No.
I don't think so, no.
So what now?
The tour ends, and we'll leave you at the caves for the moment. Dr. Dawkins.
Yes.
You go back up to the house and you explain to him that, you know, you were concerned because you thought you might have seen someone.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of laughs it off, you know, but you know, if you wanna sit there, although he's like, you know, how long are you going to sit there? Because,
well, my friends will be back. They've taken a tour, but we didn't, like I said, this man was looked like he was spying on the house. And again, we said that this is a very valuable diary here. And right. we didn't want the guy to come over and think that he can rob you, you know. So at least we could stand watch. And, you know, by the time my friends come back, if he doesn't show up, then maybe it was just our imagination, or maybe, you know,
okay,
we're a bunch of big city folks that are used to things like that, brigands like that. But
okay,
I just wanted to err on the side of caution.
All right. So he makes sure, he has his maid make sure that you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in his study with him. Although he's focused, you know, on what he's doing.
And I won't bother him.
He'll occasionally reach up and pull down a big fat lexicon of Greek and mm-hmm. look through it to make sure
he's doing it. Yeah, I mean, if he's pulling down like large books or whatever, I'll get up and assist him.
Well, he does. Okay. We'll say you do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I will give you a spot. Go ahead and do a spot hidden.
All right. Let's see. Oh, my mouse stopped working. There you go. There you go. And no.
All right. So your 2.5, well, 3 hours go by.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing really happens. But you've reached the 3 hour point, and I'm just gonna say the others come back.
Okay.
For you.
All right.
Okay. They went, they saw, they came back. Nothing much happened.
All right. Well, I'll thank him for his hospitality again, and sorry to inconvenience him, and I'm glad that nothing terrible has happened. And I will
have my maid lock the door.
All right.
Are there any, there's not any suspicious looking individuals in the street when we return, are there?
No, you don't see anybody.
Okay. All right.
Could we drive past the corner where he disappeared at? Because you mentioned before to Dr. Dawkins there wasn't any stores or anything. I'm just curious, what might he have ducked into or hidden in, or just was he a local?
He could have gone into a house. He could have, if let's imagine that he was spying on you and he wanted to get away, he could have run down an alley.
Okay.
He could have gotten away. But he could have just as easily gone into a door up to an apartment or something.
Or turn into a lizard and climb up the wall.
Or turn into a lizard and climb up the wall.
Or jump into the river with like a fish with arms.
Now you're just being silly.
Time for a gin.
So what's your next move? What are you going to do?
What time is it? You said it was 3 hours past. So it's what, like 2:30, 3 o'clock?
Yeah, say 3 o'clock now.
Okay. Well, we missed out on lunch, gentlemen.
We?
Let's get a bite. And you want to go back to the library?
Yeah. We do that.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds very good.
Why not? All right.
All right. So you have lunch, and you go back to the library. What would you like to look at the library?
Local folklore, particularly that appertaining to caves and or lizards. I'm going to make a last-ditch attempt. I'm starting to think it's a huge red herring, but I'm going to have a look nonetheless.
We're starting to question why you're infatuated with lizards, too.
We didn't want to bring it up, but as you did.
It's just, I mean, they can lose their tails and grow them back. It's fascinating. Why would you not be intrigued by that?
Some of them, the axolotl, you can actually chop its arms and legs off and they'll grow back.
There you are. That's extraordinary.
It's good. It's gotta be good. Tastes like chicken.
All right, I'm reliably informed that the royal family are lizards as well.
So I've heard the British royal family, in fact, lizards.
Yeah.
And so is the American president.
We know it's the snake people. They've taken over major parts.
Who else could it be?
Right. All right. So, Dr. Elizabeth, please go ahead and do another library roll for me.
I'll do another one of my extraordinarily poor dice rolls. Hang on. 37. That's a pass. Good Lord.
Okay.
Gracious me.
After an hour of searching for any kind of legends, you don't find anything.
Okie dokie. Well, that was a red herring then, wasn't it?
I've spent more time in libraries in the last week than I did when I was in the entire time I was at university.
Well, at least we went to see some nice caves.
If only you had looked up drunken goats. And all the legends of drunken, you know. All right. Well,
it's the cult of the drunken goat, isn't it? That's
what we're looking for. Give me some general ideas of what else you guys are looking up at the library.
Well,
I'm going to see if they have a newspaper for Americas.
Yeah, do it at times.
Sure.
Oh, great. I see if we've got any cricket score. It's a bit late in the year, but I know there's a test match coming up, but I can't remember when it is.
Yeah, the cricket scores are 3-4, 5-6, 7-8. I don't know.
Yeah. They have us. I know we've got a test match coming up. It's out of season for England, but I think we've got a West Indies coming up.
Where's Australia?
I can't remember who we're playing. I think it's something like West Indies, maybe. Or
don't the Australians play in January? That would
yeah, be they do. They do. They're cheap, though, don't they? They use a body line tactic, don't they?
Yeah, well.
All right. So, other than cricket scores, what would you like to look up?
Is there anything else for cricket scores?
Well, is there anything we can find on the medallions? We have no idea what they are.
Right.
Yeah, the medallions. What else?
We've covered the names. We know. We checked. We know. We just wait for that translation to come back. I'm dying to know what it is. Hopefully, it'll be a lead because
it'll probably be his favorite recipes or something.
Yeah, the perfect bolognese sauce.
I'm just going to have you all do a library roll.
Ah.
Oh, I got it.
I don't even know libraries exist.
And that is a hard roll.
Okay. Look at you're going over all of your notes that you've got. Mm-hmm. And following up every lead that you can think of. And one of the things that you look up, let's see if I can find it. Has to do with where Winkleman was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
According to what you read about Winkleman, there was a man named Francesco Arcangeli. He was a thief who was he was a cook and a pimp. He strangled and stabbed Winkleman and Arcangeli was captured and broken on a wheel outside the hotel where the murder was committed. So it was committed at a hotel, and his possessions were left to a waiter at that hotel, the Locanda Grande. What you find out is that the Locanda Grande was eventually bulldozed and a new hotel was put up. And that is
the one we're staying in?
Well, no. It's it says
The Castillo de Miramar?
The Locanda the Locanda Grande once stood in the Piazza Unitia d'Italia. It was demolished in 1847.
That's area number 4, isn't it? We were walking around there the other day, weren't we?
And then, let's see. The Hotel Garni was built in 1873, and now it's called the Hotel Vanoli. It's across the street. No, I'm sorry. That's not what it said. It's just
Metropolitan Monsenzio.
Piazza Unitalia. I can't speak Italian. So
yeah, It's number four on the map, isn't it?
It's the place where he was murdered.
Oh, that's quite near to it. Yeah, number four. Because we're staying at the Savio Ecclesia Palace, aren't we? I think, which is right next to the square, I believe. The Municipio is number seven.
You are correct. That's the that's the street, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a large sea-facing square. And that's where it happened. We can't remember seeing any like tourist plates or anything. Yeah, here marks the spot or anything like that where we've been walking through there. They usually mark spots like that from history, don't they?
Yeah.
Maybe there is a plaque somewhere. I mean, in a lot of Italian cities, you do find plaques in the strangest of places. Like down a little side alley, you'll suddenly find quite famously in Rome, down a little side alley, there's a plaque stating that this is the spot on which Julius Caesar is believed to have been murdered. One of the spots on which he was murdered.
He stated about quite a lot when he was murdered.
Shouting out, infamy, infamy. They've all got it in for me.
Jeez. Et tu, Brute.
Et tu.
He was stabbed over there by the bins.
All right.
By the bins.
So what? What now?
Should we go to that square and check it out? I mean, it is comparatively near.
Should we what it out? What sort of word is that?
Check it out.
Check it out?
Yes. The square.
A strange turn of phrase to use, Rupert.
Well, yeah. There's a square.
You check a lot of things out in the library.
Yes. Well, we could do. I mean, there might be a plaque somewhere. I'm not sure if...
I could murder a
friend. Depends how much the city elders of Trieste... prize the contribution made to their city by...
Oh, come on. They usually love putting people to death and they usually brag about it. Most cultures, don't they? Look what we did to the Catholics 100 years ago. That sort of thing.
We're not staying at the... Sorry, I'll just correct you there, Simon. We're not staying at the Savoy Excelsior Palace.
We're not?
No, we're staying at the... Oh, no, we are. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. No.
We got thrown out and they give us the rooms back.
I've got. No, I'm misreading my own notes there. Don't worry.
The historic Castillo di Beramar. I wonder if that's on that. That doesn't mean that it's been around for quite a while. With a cutty. I don't know what to do next.
Did we talk about what the Catterdale Sand...
Jeff, Thomas, you're muted. We still can't hear you. You're muted. Oh. Okay, apparently he got really pissed off when I told him that he was muted. So are you, Theodore?
So, have a look at the library. Is there anything about this execution in the library we can find? There's not historical records about this execution.
Nothing more than what I've told you, that he was the bad guy.
Where was he buried? Or was he buried in an unmarked grave?
Easily unmarked, aren't
they,
cruel?
Yeah, they would have thrown him in the trash heap.
Okay.
How about now?
Yeah, we're here now.
There we go. Have we not checked? Are we not square? We're not doing that.
All right.
Are you not? Okay.
I'm not checking that out. That's what I've gathered. We're not doing that. What are we doing?
Good question.
You're just sitting around talking about cricket scores and... Now, if you don't want to do anything, then we can just skip ahead a day or so. You know.
Well, I'm just wondering, what are other... there's the Jesuits' church. And the Piazza di Riccardo, named after Richard the Lionheart, who was said to be to have been imprisoned there after his return from Palestine.
Yeah.
Which does give us a tenuous link to the Crusaders.
Yes.
Which often seems to be a recurring theme in this matter.
Could be worth checking out.
Yeah, we can go there.
Cool. Let's
get I mean, what would we be looking for? That's the thing. We haven't really, until we get this translation, we don't really have any
right
any leads, do we? I mean,
the Cathedral San Giusto. We've been to that one, the Roman temple. That's got loads of mosaics, hasn't it? That's not where we saw the weird one mosaic, was it?
That was in the garden behind the museum.
I want to go and check this place out, see if any of these mosaics have the same sort of depictions.
Have we left the library?
Not quite.
No, you're still looking at crickets, of course.
Well, I'm just wondering, does the library have a medical section, or would we have to go to a specialist hospital library, like a teaching hospital library?
They have a small medical one.
I'm wondering if there's any record of any localized forms of deformities similar to the images that we saw in the museum.
You'll have to spend about an hour looking, but you don't find anything.
No? Okay.
Where's your entrance?
I really have to point out that hang on. In the La Imagina de Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
The cult was called the cult of the skinless one, wasn't it?
Yeah, the skinless ones.
Yes, it was the that night chappie who made a remark about boneless chickens.
Oh, we're here.
Thinking that they those strange flappy limbs depicted could be boneless limbs.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the leper priest again?
Merivac.
Merivac. Should we see if we could come across any sort of mention of him while we're here in the library?
That's a good idea.
You don't find anything on Merivac.
Or Fenelik.
Maybe we should go to the piazza.
Well, if we go to the piazza, I mean, it would be nice in the springtime.
Well, it's quite near to the hotel, so it's sort of, you know, it's on the way back to the hotel. So I'm
willing to go elsewhere if anyone come up with a suggestion for it.
Yeah. Library will be open tomorrow if we come up with some other ideas. So you want to go to the piazza?
Unless anyone's got a better suggestion.
No, I think that's our only real option until tomorrow when we get the response from the translator.
Mm. We can see if
that'll be a few days.
Yeah.
All right. So is that what you're going to do?
Yes.
All right. You're going to get in your cab, and it's going to take you to where the new hotel is instead of the old hotel. Go ahead and do a spot hidden for me, all of you.
Oh, six.
An 01.
I passed. That's all that's important for me, at least.
Okay. Jeff, did you make it? Okay.
You guys now, see nothing.
As you're driving, Dr. Dawkins, you got an 01.
Yeah. 01.
Dr. Dawkins sees all, he knows all.
Dr. Dawkins and Dr. Elizabeth, you guys are sitting in the back seat. And you guys are obviously sitting next to the window. As you're driving, you just happen to both be looking in the same direction out the window. And there's these are lots of little piazzas, lots of houses, but the houses are tall. And they have little gardens around them, but they're bare now. But you notice a man standing in one of the gardens, and as you drive by, he seems to be looking at you or looking at the cab as it goes by. He seems to be dressed all in gray with kind of an old fashioned suit jacket on. But he doesn't seem to be doing anything except just standing there watching you. And you only see him for a couple of seconds as you go by. But a few minutes later, as you're driving, you swear that you see the same guy again, but on the other side of the street and standing kind of on some steps leading up to a doorway. And he is the same thing. He just stares at you as you go by. You couldn't be the same guy, but he certainly is dressed exactly like the same guy, has the same hairstyle and stuff. And he looks very, very, you know, because of the snow and the cold and everything, he looks very washed out. But it just, something strikes you as odd, you know, about that.
Deja vu.
Dr. Dawkins, you got an 01. You see him a third time. Somewhere before your car stops at the hotel.
I'll mention this to the group.
And if you other than those two, if you passed, you might have seen him once, sort of. You know, you think you saw somebody.
What'd you say, Dawkins, old chap?
I saw him a third time. How? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry, old chap. Neither are you. What did you see?
That man. You were up in the front seat.
I got the roll 90-something as well, so.
I'll keep my eye out. When we exit the car, I'll keep my eye out to see if he...
Got that chap I went after earlier, is it?
No, it was a different one.
Taking the two incidents together does tend to indicate that we're
surveilled.
I'm wondering if perhaps we're being we're being followed.
Oh, we are being
followed. I think we are. We're being watched. So someone knows we're here.
It's not
rather useful to know why they're following us. I mean, they clearly think that we found out something more than we have.
Yeah. They knew that we were floundering out around in the dark, then they wouldn't even bother. Like these amateurs.
Well, what I can also tell you is that when you arrive at the hotel, there is a little plaque. But it's nothing more than a small plaque on a corner of the building that denotes that this is the spot where Wilkerman was actually murdered. It doesn't actually mention the guy being put to death, because they could care less about that asshole, but this was where Winkleman was murdered. All right. And this is not, it also mentions that this is not the original hotel.
No. What was built in place of the hotel?
What's that?
What was built on the site of where the hotel used to be?
Correct.
All right. Anybody looking at us while we're admiring this plaque?
No, most people are trying to get out of the cold as quickly as they can. Although you start to think, every time you see a cab or a car slow down and make a turn, you keep wondering if somebody's staring at you.
I start like everybody's watching us now.
Yeah. All right.
Clearly, we need to be cautious, though. Let's not become paranoid. But
it's difficult not to jump at shadows with us knowing what we know. It's difficult not to jump at shadows, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, let's return back to our hotel and check on our items while we're there. Make sure they were unmolested.
All right.
Indeed, yes. Perhaps we can concoct some plan for drawing them out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you return to your hotel.
Good change for dinner.
All right, so you're going to go up to the stairs to get changed for dinner.
Yes, the right thing to do.
All right, just as you get up to your floor, you get to the top of the stairs and you turn the corner down your hallway. At the far end of the hallway is that same Turkish fellow in his red fez smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's standing there for a moment and he sort of glances and he notices you. Then he just continues smoking his cigarette.
I smile at him, but go to my room as per normal, not taking any more notice of him. I say good morning to him, or afternoon, should I say.
Do you say it in French?
Yeah, I say, bonjour, monsieur, we'll be expecting to see you at dinner today.
Well, he looks at you and sort of gives you a little smile, like, I guess he sort of half understood what you said, but...
Well, you're more than welcome to join us for dinner, monsieur.
He seems not to be paying that close attention to you, but he takes a few more puffs of his cigarette and then he walks around the corner.
I'll leave him to it and then just go to my room and get changed. Okay. I can't say I haven't been friendly.
The rest of you?
I'm going to head back to my room as well and get changed, but I'm checking on our trunks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will check on, yeah.
Everything is completely undisturbed.
Was there anything in the hallway where he was? Like, was there a lobby or anything? Or was he just, like, standing outside of a room?
It seemed like he was just stopped in the corner of the hallway or something to... Yeah, there's not, like, a lobby or anything there. It's just a hallway with doors on either side.
Hmm.
Not all in the straight... I mean, it goes around the corner into the other parts of the hotel, but like any hotel.
And that's what he walked around one of the corners. He didn't go in a room right there.
No, he walked around the corner, maybe down the hallway. He didn't really look, so.
I'm going to, after checking the luggage, I'm going to go back out in the hallway and see if I can find him.
Okay. He's not there. He's not, at least walking down the hallways, you don't see anything.
All right, well, after getting changed, we go head down to the lobby and okay. Get ready for dinner.
All right. You go down for dinner, nothing happens. You enjoy your dinner. The evening comes, you get ready for bed. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens.
All right.
So do you want to do anything before the next day?
Not really. I just have my brandy and keep up my journal.
All right. You can guess that you're probably going to get your translation sometime in the afternoon.
Okay.
So do you want to do anything for the day, the morning? Sightseeing? We don't have to act it out. We can just skip ahead if you don't.
Yeah, I'll go check out the night castle in the morning.
Okay.
Not quite like a nice castle.
You can look at the castle, the cathedral, the Jesuit, whatever the hell that was. And
sightsee for a few hours.
Yeah.
And anyways, if you are in your hotel that afternoon, what day is it now? We're on Wednesday?
Wednesday.
The 31st? February Eve. Okay. Around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you get a telephone call from, what was his name? Marcius Montanelli, who tells you that he has been able to translate a portion of it. He said there's portions of it that are far more difficult. He could continue working on those, but he thinks that you'll want to read whatever this is so far.
Okay.
He tells you that there's parts of it that frankly could take him months to try to translate. It's very obscure.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, but, I'll pay him well if he would do it for us, though. Over a prolonged period. I don't say he has to do it within the necessary time frame, but if we could give him a way to contact us, I'm willing to pay him to carry on translating.
One imagines that the fact that it's been translated into such an obscure dialect speaks volumes of how
important
determined he was to keep this information secret.
But he says to you at that point, he says, well, Senor, I'm not really, I did this for you because Mr. Termona asked me to, but I really don't have, I have a lot of other things I need to do as well. And I just won't have the time, to focus on this. This would take a great deal of time.
That's fair enough. I just thought it
out. Understand.
What did you read so far? What can you make out?
Well, he says, if you come, I'll give you the translation. I've written it out in English.
Okay.
Hooray.
So, all right. So, let us assume that he's extraordinarily busy, but he's going to give you the translation. So, you retrieve the translation and the journal and the book. And I assume you'll probably go back to your hotel.
Yes.
Just makes it easy enough because it's freezing outside. All right. So this isn't the whole thing, but it's important bits. Okay? And this will be Dr. Elizabeth, I guess, because she's entrusted with the book. Actually, I take that back. Hold on. Sorry, I forgot a sequence. You've got the book. You've returned to the hotel, and it's approaching, let's say, 7:30 at night, now that you have the translation. When you arrive back at the hotel, the power is off. They're serving dinner in the restaurant by candlelight.
I say, this happened after all.
And you know, the concierge says, "Yes, it does happen a few times a year."
Well, guess we're having salad.
No, we have gas. We can cook anything you like. So please, you know, have a seat, and we'll begin to serve you. So, can we assume that's?
Shall we look over the?
We'll have our meal delivered to our room, so we have some privacy. We can sit around and discuss the matters.
That's true. We should probably go up to the room and.
Yes, have it room delivered.
All right. As you are walking up the stairs to your room, hold on just one second. As you're walking up your stairs to the room, Dr. Elizabeth, it feels like the hallway is exceptionally cold this evening. Like the heat's not working. As you're walking along, you guys have candles, which you know you've got little whatever they're called, sconces with candles to walk upstairs. Mm-hmm. You suddenly feel as if something has shoved you sideways, and you bump against the wall. And this, you think that you're just losing your balance, but this happens a couple more times. And then all of a sudden, something feels like it slams into you really hard. You hit the wall, and you lose your balance, and you fall to the ground. At the same time, you hear something whispered in your ear. And it sounds like tagaboosh.
I'm going to... Am I the one carrying the book?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to clutch it very, very tight to me. This feels like a robbery. Okay. Can I see anything? I mean, is there anyone there?
And everybody else they're all looking at you like, what the hell?
You're okay, Keith. Okay, let me give you a hand up.
No, there's something in here with us. Something's just knocked me over. I didn't see anything, but something knocked me over and I heard something.
I say.
Did no one see anything? Did you not see anything knock me over just now? Something just barged into me and knocked me over and whispered something in my ear. Something just knocked me over.
What, like a poltergeist?
I have no idea. Let's just get it in the room right now.
Of course.
Okay.
Well, I'll go and pour you a nice generous brandy. You look quite shaken up.
Are you all going to the same room?
Yeah, but before I enter the room, I do want to give a good look in the hallway right around the area that she fell.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Nothing there.
Dr. Elizabeth,
what is the feel? Oh, I just wanted to know the general feeling of the hallway, because with all the lights out, is there like a feeling of dread?
Well, yeah, it's a long, dark, creepy hallway.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm just wondering if there's like any like a feeling of like a presence of something else, or anything like that.
Well, you definitely feel cold spots in the air.
Okay. Well. Then So I'm gonna just kind of step inside the room there because nope, not dealing with that.
Okay. Just as Dr. Elizabeth is about to sit down, it happens again. Something. It's almost like something slaps you. Right below the shoulder on your back, and you hear something whisper in your ear, and it sounds like tagabush. And I'll write it for you specifically. How do you do this?
/2 /make/(+2)
I lost it. Oh.
Oh, God, I'm not going to get possessed again.
Check her eyes. Check her eyes. Check her eyes.
Not again. Once is enough.
There you go. And your back stings where it smacked you.
Right. Something has definitely just hit me. I've just felt something hit me. Yes, in the room here. Something has just slapped me on the back in the room here and whispered something into my ear. And I'm prepared to write down what I think I heard. But I'm not going to say it out loud because I think if there's one thing I've learned... It's words can be dangerous things. I don't want to. I mean, I'm feeling very odd right now. This is very.
I suggest.
Are you sure that no one else, none of you, saw something hit me? I mean, I just.
Actually, Keith, not a thing. Doesn't even look like the curtains moved.
Now, is there an oil lantern in the room? Or anything like that, Tom, or a candle?
Oh, candles, yeah.
Does anyone have matches?
Oh, I do.
Yes.
But don't we have a fireplace? You should have a fireplace.
Yes. Okay. And it's been lit for you.
Oh, so there is light in the room.
Yeah, there is.
Just flickering and...
So there's no the other person or other presence that we can see? It's just us?
Correct.
Dr. Keith, are you sure you can just fall?
Can I have a quick rundown of languages again that you all speak? Jeff?
French and English.
Mick?
English and Latin.
Rupert?
Latin, French, and English.
Thomas?
Russian, German, English.
Okay. And Theodore?
English and Latin.
Okay. All right, so Dr. Elizabeth, you haven't said anything out loud about the word.
I will write it down on a scrap of paper.
Okay.
Phonetically, as it sounded to me at the time.
I suggest we all stand around her.
Yeah.
Do so.
Yeah. Keep her eyes open too.
And I'll show the piece of paper to them and just say, look, this, don't, for goodness sake, don't say it out loud. Because it might be, I don't know. who knows what would happen. If I say the word out loud, maybe something might manifest. I have no idea what on earth is going on. I might be having a psychotic collapse. I don't know.
Oh, but my
that
God.
Is the word, that is the word this thing whispered into my ear just now. You didn't hear anything. You didn't hear a voice. You didn't hear anything whispering just now.
So I snatch the paper from your hand, Dr. Keith, and I look at it, and I can't believe this actually came in handy. But I look up at you with that stoic look, and I put the paper on the table, and I say, it's German for diary. Which it's German for diary. It's nothing.
Why is so? But none of the I just got pushed over. Clearly, it's obvious that something pushed me over. I didn't just dive onto the floor out in the hall. So something wants the diary.
Or wants us to look in it.
Well, then...
I think we'd best look at this translation right now before anything else happens.
Definitely.
All right. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. Winkelmann was German, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a German name.
Perhaps... Oh, wow. Can't believe I'm going to say this. Perhaps it's Winkelmann telling you something.
What was that, Eldritch? I didn't quite.
Well, Dr. Keith doesn't know. You don't know German, do you?
No.
So how whatever do you know that
whatever,
word?
Well, whatever he's trying to tell me, he's bloody hurting me as well. My back's killing me.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, Dr.
What's Dawkins, the name of those things that people use to talk with the dead?
Frank.
Ouija boards,
that's the thing I was looking about. Do you know if one of them might come in handy?
Well, those
Ouija boards.
They were quite popular.
No Ouija boards.
Frank, do a spot hit.
I thought you didn't believe in that sort of thing, Eldritch.
I don't go messing with things I don't believe in. I'm just going to say that right now. I don't go messing with it just in case.
Yeah. I just thought it might stop us getting slapped about.
Us.
Well, you. Keith here. Bless her.
I don't know. Slapping. It feels like I've been whipped.
Does anyone have a piece of paper and a pencil?
All right. So you think we can rustle one up somewhere?
There's something called...
Do a yes or no thing with an upside down glass.
Yeah, I have a notepad and pen, so I just kind of pass it over to you.
Yes or no. Glass, upside down glass.
Okay.
I think Keith should be the one with the glass as well, because it seems to be the one they're trying to contact the most.
I don't know if you want to risk this or not, but there's something, I forget the exact term, but basically it's like remote writing. Automatic writing, that's it.
Yeah.
If something's trying to communicate with us, it's an easy way for them to take control of your hand and write something.
Well, Keith seems
at this point, I would rather something took control of my hand than carried on hitting me.
That's what it looks like. It's hurt. It hurts. I can see a bruise forming on your back.
Well, that's just in stories. We don't know if it actually will work.
We'll try anything, really.
Let's try it. I'm a scientist.
If it doesn't work, we don't have to do it again.
Do you want me to try it then?
There's a knock on your door. Ah. And service is delivering food.
Oh, it's a salmon mousse.
All right. So I'll go, I'll open the door, I'll have them bring the food in while they discuss what they're going to do.
All right. So they bring in a compliment of food. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you guys going to do?
Read the translation.
Okay.
Okay, I guess since I suggested it, while they're reading the translation, I'll sit at the table with my hand with the pencil and notepad.
Okay. As you're sitting there, you start to shift through the papers and the translation. It's a little dim to try to read it by candlelight, but you're probably going to make it out. All of a sudden, though, before you can do anything, where did it go? Okay. You suddenly, you guys are sitting at a table, okay? You've got the food on the table. You've got the book and the translation on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And before you can actually look down and start reading the book, you get this really weird feeling like you're shrinking. It reminds you of the way you felt when you were little kids sitting at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And you guys all just like in unison, just sort of stop what you're doing. And you're staring at each other and you're staring at the table and you're thinking, it kind of looks like we're all...
Anyone else here think we're going to be getting custard any second?
Well, as soon as you say that, all of a sudden, you realize that the table has actually risen about 3 inches off the ground, and it suddenly drops. Bang.
Oh, my God.
And your food, it just... jitters your food.
Whoever did that, I don't know it again. It wasn't funny.
Don't fall over.
It wasn't funny at all.
It startles the hell out of you.
I think that the time has come to follow Mr. Coates' suggestion.
To do a reading?
To mm-hmm. attempt the automatic writing.
Dr. Dawkins.
Yes. There's something here.
Spot hidden, please. We're almost done for tonight.
I make it.
All right. You now notice also that Dr. Elizabeth has a nasty bruise on her back. It's mostly hidden by her dress.
Hmm.
But it's definitely hematoma.
I say.
And it's weird looking.
How's it look? Like a handprint?
No. But it's definitely got some weird edges to it.
Not like she was slapped by a piece of rope or something.
You'd have to at least partly remove her dress
to look at it. Dr. Elizabeth, I don't mean to sound forward, but may I remove part of your dress to examine this injury you have?
Well, I think it may have some bearing on the matter. So, yes.
I shall look away.
Yep, turning around.
Yes, I shall look away. Give us some modesty.
All right. Dr. Dawkins, mm-hmm. What you see is a face. It's as if it was an imprinted face on your back. It's not clear, but you can definitely see that it's meant to be a face. And the face has a little beard and mustache and goat horns.
Keeps become possessed.
And well, that's where I think we should call it.
All right. Well, we didn't find Jesus, but we found the other guy.
You can read the journal first thing next time.
Oh, we're going to burn it next week.
Lopan, Lopan.
All right, so our let's see, our players included Thomas McKeon, Mick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with myself as the keeper of the secrets. Our games are played using traditional tabletop methods with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We're now producing audio files for you to download free from either Podbean or iTunes. Feel free to send us comments on our show. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for our latest updates. If you'd like to support us in other ways, we've just opened a Patreon account. Your contributions will help us continue to improve and expand our content. You'll find links to our website, Patreon, Podbean, iTunes, and our Twitter page in the description below. This is Tom Raley inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.